This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. House leadership is meeting at this hour to talk about the bills that the governor is thinking about vetoing. For the second time in a row, the governor appears poised to scrap a bill to tax short-term vacation rentals. HPR's Ryan Finnerty joins us in the studio this morning with the latest.
Morning, Catherine.
Morning.
So, yeah, the governor yesterday released his initial intent to veto list. It's not final, but he is by statute, by the Hawaii State Constitution, required to give a preliminary list. He identified 20 bills out of 303 that were passed by state lawmakers this year. That works out to about 7%. They cover a pretty wide range of topics, everything from the sale of personal data to overcrowding at Molokini. The most watched measure was probably a bill that would have required short-term rental platforms like Airbnb to collect state taxes, kind of the way Amazon collects sales taxes in a lot of states. And that had gotten a lot of attention. It passed the state Senate by just one vote at the very last minute, the last day of voting at the legislative session. And it had received a lot of opposition from county officials across the state because there was a concern that it would undermine efforts by county governments to restrict short-term rentals. And that's the direction that most county governments have been moving in. We just saw last week the Honolulu City Council passed two pretty sweeping legislative packages that would be a big restriction of short-term rentals on Oahu. And they had been urging the governor to veto it, as had many in the hotel industry. And it appears that they convinced him because that bill was on the list that he issued yesterday. And here's what the governor had to say about it.
The state's taxation of transient accommodations through the hosting platforms should complement the county's regulations of transient accommodations. The city and county of Honolulu has taken action to pass a measure to establish regulations, and certainly we want to make sure that any action taken at the state level does not interfere with the action taken in the recent passage of Bill 89. And so certainly our concern is that any action that we take be complementary of actions that would be taken at the county level.
And as you mentioned in the intro, this is very similar to a bill that the governor vetoed in 2016, kind of along the same lines, that concerns that collecting taxes was sort of a tacit approval by the state to do an activity that is illegal in a lot of places in Hawaii. The governor was very clear to say that they didn't think that passing this law would have permitted this activity that's not sanctioned by the counties, that they didn't think there was a legal conflict, but they really wanted to communicate that they were in support of what the counties were doing, particularly the city and county of Honolulu, and didn't want to do anything that would undermine it. So he cited several court cases and U.S. constitutional law saying that there is no problem with collecting taxes on an illegal activity, but he wanted to see further legal review done since this bill was passed before the city and county of Honolulu passed its legislation.
And so, I know that the lawmakers were concerned about a shortfall in the budget because I think they were probably counting on money
to
collect.
Yeah, that's so this bill was, it's kind of hard to estimate because, you know, this is, at least on Oahu, largely an underground activity. The estimate that we were given was about $46 million is what they estimated it would take in revenue. And as you said, that was kind of forced through by the Senate Ways and Means Chair, Donovan Dela Cruz, Senator, to make up a budget shortfall. And senators said that they're required by the state constitution, when I asked at the end of the session, to balance the budget. They can't run a deficit. So when whatever they're going to spend, you know, budgeting 2 or 3 years out, they have to plan revenue for it. And so that was kind of how they got that bill passed. Interestingly, the governor and his director of the Department of Taxation yesterday said they weren't really that concerned because in light of the restrictions by the city and county of Honolulu, that revenue was going to drop a lot anyways, because if there's, we think, around 8,000 to 10,000 short-term rentals on Oahu right now, city and county legislation would bring it down to under 2,000. So a lot of that revenue would have gone away anyway. So they weren't really that concerned about the loss of revenue. They said they'll make it up somewhere else by either cutting spending or reallocating funds. But that was a major concern by advocates for the bill, including the short-term rental industry. The governor also vetoed another tax bill that had got a lot of attention during the session. This one would have eliminated a decades-old exemption on the corporate income tax for real estate investment trusts. These are the big land-owning companies like Alexander and Baldwin. They own some of the most valuable real estate in Hawaii. And this vehicle was created by the federal government in the 70s. To allow regular people to invest in land the way you can invest in a publicly traded company. And part of the law that created REITs gave them this special income tax exemption. And the tax is instead paid by the shareholder. So if you invest in a REIT, you pay the tax on the profits you earn instead of the company paying it. 49 states, including Hawaii, have that exemption adopted from the federal tax code. But there was a movement this year to eliminate that and to start charging regular corporate income taxes. A lot of commercial developers who are not REITs were leading that charge, saying that it was an unfair advantage that these other companies get. And that was a big unknown whether or not which side the governor would come down on. In the end, it seems like he sided with the REITs, citing potential loss of economic growth and the infrastructure development that REITs provide in exchange for what was projected to be a pretty small amount of revenue. Somewhere around $10 million was what the State Department of Taxation estimated. And here's what the governor said about it.
This measure could discourage the business community from investing in Hawaii, could potentially stifle economic development and scare away investment capital to address our aging infrastructure. If the state corporate income tax is imposed on a REIT, there may be negative impacts to the state's economic health and business climate, such as a reduction in the general excise tax, property and state income taxes. Overall, the unintended consequences of imposing a corporate tax on REITs are not worth the potential benefits.
So the governor striking a more pro-business tone there, at least for some businesses. As state lawmakers convene to discuss potential veto overrides, I think that's one to look at because, as we said, there's this loss of revenue from the Airbnb bill. That one it passed by such a slim margin, very unlikely we'd see an override on that. The REIT tax, that's one that state lawmakers may decide they need some revenue, even if it's not going to be a huge amount. And that's one to look for a potential veto override. There were a lot of other bills on the list. Another high-profile one concerned civil asset forfeiture, which is the process by which law enforcement can seize private property that has been used in the commission of a crime or associated in the commission of a crime in some way. It's got a lot of attention nationwide because it's found to have been widely abused by a lot of police agencies or police departments. Lawmakers this year wanted to restrict the practice to felony cases and only after a conviction has been made. That was supported by groups like ACLU of Hawaii. The governor decided to come down on the other side of that. He said that he didn't think there was a problem with the way police agencies in Hawaii were using the process and didn't think it warranted that kind of restriction.
You know, I'm proud of our law enforcement in the islands that we don't see the kind of abuse that has occurred in other states. And one of the primary reasons that I put this on the veto list and I'm inclined to veto that measure is that we don't have the abuses there, that our law enforcement has been responsible in how we execute the current forfeiture law. And I do believe that this measure would have changed that system and would have taken away a vital resource for our law enforcement that allows them to, you know, acquire different assets and equipment and other things that they would not be able to acquire under normal conditions.
Worth noting, Catherine, that a 2018 report from the state auditor found that 30% of civil asset forfeiture cases were connected to court cases or criminal cases that resulted in either no charges or the charges being dismissed. So 30% is quite a bit. And in the report concluded that the state's civil asset forfeiture program lacked adequate policies and procedures to be properly implemented. So 20 bills, as we said, total on the veto list. Members of the state House of Representatives are meeting this morning to discuss the list and mull over possible veto overrides. The governor has until July 9th to make a final decision on whether he'll sign or veto the about 200 bills that he hasn't made a full decision on yet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Senate leadership thinks also, since it was Donovan Dela Cruz that was pushing for the vacation rental tax.
Right, and both houses will have to agree on an override for that to go through.
Right, that will be interesting. All right, thanks so much, Ryan.
Thanks.
That was HPR's Ryan Finnerty with the latest on the governor's potential veto list.